Open your Bibles to 1 Kings, chapter 19. I've had a real good time. Want to thank you guys again for just being real kind to us, you know, kind to my daughter and kind of my wife, and it's been real good. Thanks to Bill and Deb too for letting us stay at their house. It's been a lot of fun. Eating peanuts and pickles, boy, it's been real fun. 1 Kings 19. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this week. I thank you for the invite, Lord. I thank you for allowing me to preach here. And Lord, I just pray that you continue the work, Lord, in our lives, in our hearts, and we want to truly rejoice in you. You are so special to us, Lord. You deserve all the honor and the glory, Father. And I just ask for tonight, Lord. I pray that we go home tonight, Lord, with a word from you. I pray that we not let this slip. That we not just ignore what you've taught us this week, Lord. I just ask that you revive us, and you continue to revive us on a daily basis, Lord. That you continue to bring things to mind. We thank you for your word, that it's sure and it's pure. We thank you, Lord, that you still speak to your people, Father. I just pray tonight that you help us to understand your word and to just clear our minds of the things of this world. Just help us to concentrate a little bit on your word, Father. And I just pray that you help me tonight preach and that I say everything that you want me to say, and that you be honored and glorified tonight, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to talk to you about that little phrase right there in verse 4. Here we have Elijah, and he gets there and he says, it is enough. You know, I know we've mentioned this week about being tired, but you know, discouragement happens. And the reason why I want to talk about this tonight as my last message is because I think we've had a real good time this week. You know, I know I had a good time. You know, I'm the fellowship before, the fellowship afterwards, you know, talking to you guys. I mean, I think we've really, truly, truly, truly enjoyed ourselves, you know, and not only, you know, me with you guys, but just looking around and after the meeting and in the parking lot, and just, we just been talking and laughing and just having a great time. Well, you know, we have to be careful because Monday morning's tomorrow. And we don't want what God has maybe taught us or revealed us to just slip away, you know. And this passage, or these chapters, starting from chapter 17, it's just amazing the things that happened to Elijah. I mean, just crazy stuff. You talk about somebody. I mean, you get to this point and he sits down under a juniper tree and he says, it is enough. But you look back and you're thinking, how could this have happened? I mean, all this stuff that happened in his life is, I mean, I don't know how long, the timeline between chapter 17 and chapter 19 and verse 4, but however long it was, I mean, it had to have been a while, and a lot of stuff was happening. And then he comes to this part, I mean, to see God move, And to talk to God and to hear, you know, God tell him, this is what I want you to tell, you know, these people and these kings and all this. And then for him to come to this point and say, you know what, it's enough. Well, you know, I think that's a warning to us as far as discouragement. We got to be careful. If God has given you any type of refreshing in your life, If you have gotten some victories this week, if some things have gotten clear in your mind this week, then you have to guard against discouragement. Because we don't want to fall back, man. You know, remember when I mentioned, you know, about that comment about that 70-year-old lady in the Welsh revival? And they were commenting to her and they said, man, you know, isn't it incredible? After 18 months, has God just stopped moving? And she's 70 years old, years later, she was a young woman at the time. And she said, it never stopped with me. I think that's what we're looking for. I think that's what we want, you know, that our love just doesn't stop. It just continues. You know, I think in order for us to understand that, we need to find out the source of the discouragement that happened to Elijah. Because we can look and God demonstrated such power. Just if we read chapter 18, and we all know the chapter. I mean, he shows up there, and they gather the children of Israel, and they gather the prophets, and he tells them in verse 21, 18:21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answer him not a word. You know, I think that message was a convicting message. And I think the reason why they didn't say a word is because they knew they were halting between two opinions. You know? And I mean, After the challenge of Elijah, he said, you know what, gather the prophets, your prophets, and we're gonna see whose God is really God. And we know the story. He asked for fire to come down from heaven. And of course, the other prophets, they're screaming and they're yelling, and he gets a little sarcastic, doesn't he? In 18, it's pretty funny. If you haven't read the story, you know, it's pretty funny, because in 27, it says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Man, preachers have fun. They really do. He says, and said, cry aloud, for if he is God, either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure, he sleepeth and must be awaked. I mean, this guy, he's just mocking them. Why? He had no fear of their God because he didn't exist. You know, he's saying, man, people, nothing's going to happen. They're right. They're right there in the middle of the drought, you know, and then it's his turn. He says, man, let's just pour a bunch of water over this all. Just saturate it. And then it's Elijah's turn. God answers him. You know, you look over here in verse 39 of 18, it says that when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. But remember, these were the same people who didn't say a word. When he said, you haul between two opinions, and they didn't say a thing. And then they see God's power. And then they had a little revival, a little spark. And they started worshiping God. Well, you know, I think we need to understand that, because they did have a temporary repentance. You know, they did acknowledge, okay, we were halting between two opinions, but now we know who God is, and they repented. But that didn't last very long. You know, we see in verse 10 of 19, if you go there, it says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. The children of Israel. It didn't last very long. You know, and so I think we have to be careful that the repentance of whatever it is that God showed you this week, that it's not temporary. We have to continue. We have to make sure we guard ourselves against falling back to the same old thing. You know what happened? Once he gets discouraged, let's follow the steps. What happens? Because it's interesting. In verse 4, it says 19:4. He says, "But he himself went a day's journey." You know what happens when you get discouraged? You stop following God. You notice what it says there? He himself went a day's journey. You stop following God. That's when you start getting discouraged. But it's incredible, because if you read from chapter 17, look what it says in 17. I mean, it's just incredible. You got to read these chapters, and I'm not going to read them all, but just check what happens in verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. He's there and he's talking in the name of God. I mean, he's listening and following directions. And then he says in verse 3, he says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherish, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I mean, if you read the story, it says in verse 6 that the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. I mean, God was speaking to him, and God was giving him direction, and he was following God. And you got to understand the direction that God was giving him was incredible. Who in the world is going to go to a brook and drink from the brook and wait for birds to come and give you stuff to eat? That doesn't even seem logical. Right? But he did it. You know why he did it? Because he was following God. So, in my mind, if God says for us to do certain things in our lives, it's going to produce joy. If God says you got to do this and this and this, this is going to happen. Well, that's exactly what Elijah did. That's exactly what he did. God tells him, go to this brook and stay there. And I'm going to provide it. I'm going to provide flesh for you and bread every morning and every evening. And then when the brook dried up, he says, go to this widow's house. And she's going to take care of you. Well, he shows up there, and man, she's about to die. I mean, she said, look, I just got a little bit just for me, just for my kid, and then we're going to die. But you don't see him doubting. He said, look, don't worry about it. Give me a little bit first, and God's going to take care of us. And as crazy as that was, she did it. And she didn't starve. She didn't die.
I mean, we're talking about an incredible... He followed God, and it didn't matter what God said, and it didn't even stump him. I mean, the brook dried up, and there's no more flesh, there's no more bread, and so God says, go, this widow is going to take care of you. He shows up, and she has nothing. And he said, well, God told me to be here, so he's going to take care of me. Are you seeing the pattern here? If you do what God says, we can keep the joy that we have. And if we continue doing what God says, we're just going to be more joyous. I don't know. What's the word? We're going to be, our cup is going to be running over if we keep doing what God says. But the first thing that happens in discouragement is you quit following God. You have to follow God. And let me tell you, God not only talks to you through this book, but he talks to you through the church. Through the open meeting, through your pastors, through your missionaries, through godly people in the assembly. That's how God talks to you. And you got to do what God says. When you stop following God, you're on the path of discouragement. Look what else happens. Look what else happens. In verse 3. Of that same... in verse 3... It says, 19, he says, and when he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. You know what happens after you stop following God? You get out of fellowship. He left his servant there. He didn't want to hang out with anybody else. He wanted to be alone. That's where discouragement is going to take you. And we have to watch ourselves that we don't get to that point. We got to be in the meetings. Wednesday night's going to come around. I mean, if the Lord tarries, right? And we should have this many people and more on Wednesday night. When Sunday comes around, Sunday morning, we should have this amount of people and possibly more. When Sunday night comes around, we should have this many people and possibly more. But he got out of fellowship. Why? Discouragement. Something else happened. In verse 4, at the very end of the verse, it says, "For I am not better than my fathers." You stop following God's word, his instruction, you get out of fellowship, and then you start listening to your feelings. You know, that's a bad place to be. Yeah. Feelings. You're just thinking about yourself. I'm not better than my fathers. Come on. We need to we should not have confidence in our feelings because they come and go.
That's true.
You know, I mean, I just mentioned it, the, you know, one of these nights that, you know, like a marriage, you know, and I said that I don't want anybody to think that I don't love my wife. When I said I don't feel like I'm married sometimes, you know. But I mean, come on, we got to be, you know, this is what I'm trying to get to. It's not about feelings. You know, the incredible thing about marriage and my responsibility, God didn't say, if you feel like loving your wife, then go ahead and do it. God commands me to love my wife. It's a commandment. Love my neighbor, it's a commandment. It's not based on feeling. It's a decision. You have to do it. You have to decide, you know what? I'm going to love my wife. You know what? It's a decision. You're going to have to love your church. It's a decision you have to make. But you know, we see this. It happens. He had right here. He stopped listening to God's instruction. He got out of fellowship. And he had a problem with his feelings. Well, you know, I think the answer is very simple. When we see these things and they start to come up on us, then we need to react. We have to react. If we just let it go, if we just let it just happen to us, we're going to get further and further and further away. Wouldn't it be nice to have a revival next year and it just be a booster? Wouldn't that be nice? You know, I mean, we're revived, you know, I mean, we're doing good, we're happy, and we're just going to have a revival just that, like a booster shot. You know, we just want to get just a little bit more happier and God talk to us again next year. We don't want to be coming dragging next revival. We don't want to come dragging on Wednesday. We don't want to come dragging on Sundays. We need to understand that discouragement does happen. I mean, we're not even talking about this week, possibly, you know, you saw some things, maybe even added to some things that I said. Well, I definitely know you added something I said because people even told me, you forgot that point. You know, oh, Brother John, that was a pretty good message. But what about that point? What about that point? What about that point? Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, I can't say everything, you know. I have to let other people. You know, we need to react to it. And the reaction, I think, is very simple. If you look at what happens, go to verse 11. We're going to read from verse 11 a few verses. That's going to be a real short message tonight. It says, "And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Didn't we hear that before? It's incredible. When people are discouraged, you repeat the same thing over and over. I'm just so sad. I'm just so bad. Things are not going. And they repeat the same thing over and over. You're just going to get more whipped. He says it again. He says, and the Lord said unto him, go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat and of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, every mouth which hath not kissed him." Here we have God's reaction or God's answer to us for discouragement. The first thing is in verse 12. It says, a still small voice. You know how to beat discouragement? You know, when these things start happening, when you find yourself not following God's instruction, when you find yourself not wanting to fellowship,
wanting to be by yourself instead of with God's people? Hey man, there's time for everything. There really is. There's even time to be by yourself. It's a good thing to be by yourself. You know, I mean, it's a good thing to sit down and maybe, you know, jump in your hammock and you know, just swing a little bit and just be by yourself. It's pretty fun. But not all the time. I mean, God has given you a church. God says it's a gift to you. Man, we have such a great gift. And sometimes we just don't value the gift that God has given us. But you know, the answer there is to get close to God. God still speaks in that still small voice. You know, this week, you know, I guess for the most part, I've been hollering a little bit, been, you know, maybe including some stories, some illustrations. But you know what? God speaks through His men. God speaks through the Word. That's what we have to understand. The way we get close to God is to get close to the church, to get in His Word, to listen attentively. That is important. But you know what else? He says in verse 15, look what he says. It's like he goes to the juniper tree. God didn't even tell him to go there. He just goes. You know? And then all of a sudden, God starts talking to him in a small, still voice. And he starts listening. And like God never even answers his complaint. He doesn't say a thing about it. He doesn't even talk about it. All he says is in verse 15, "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness." You know what the answer to discouragement is? Get close to God and get back to work. Get back to work. I mean, can I just tell you something? For anybody who doesn't know or maybe thinking maybe Christianity, there's something else that we're missing. There's not. This is it. We work for God. That's it. It's all about Christ. I mean, what are you searching for? A big explosion? A big light? What do you want? God lives in you. And he goes to Elijah and says, "Elijah, here I am. I'm talking to you. I want the relationship again." And he tells him, "Go back to the wilderness. Go to work." Amen. You know, he gives them a task to do. He says right there in 15, he says, "Go return on their way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria." He's given him instruction again. And guess what? He goes and does it. He gets right back into the will of God. You know, God doesn't want to just smash us. I think God sees that and he says, "Okay, I understand you're discouraged." And by the way, when he says over there in verse 4, he says that he requested for himself that he might die, he wasn't serious. If he wanted to die, he would just stay there and Jezebel would have taken care of him. You know? I mean, come on. I mean, that wasn't a serious comment. Let me tell you, sometimes we say the craziest things. God says, "I want to talk to you. I want that. I want to keep that relationship with you." But you know, while we're talking and while we're having fellowship, I'm going to keep you busy. It's an amazing thing how better our life is when we're busy. You know, I know, you know, people don't like this, but I'm going to say it anyways. Man, people don't like this, but I'm going to say it anyways. If you're discouraged, you need to get to work. You need to do something for somebody else. It's just that simple. You're feeling down about yourself? I don't know. Go help the homeless.
Go downtown and ask them, can I pour some soup for the homeless? I don't know if they do that here. But go down there and look at these people who really do not have a life. Give them the gospel along with a bowl of soup. That might make you feel a whole lot better.
Amen.
Do something for someone else. I mean, that's what he's saying. God goes and he shows up and he says, man, I wanna talk to you a little bit. But I want you to go do something. You gotta anoint this guy. He's gonna be king over here and you gotta go do it. He's giving him something to do. You know, he's not talking about Jezebel anymore. He's not worrying about that no more. He's saying, okay, God, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna get back to work. If you read the list of things that he has to do, some things he didn't do. You know, if you look over there in 2 Kings 9, it says that it was Elisha who anointed Jehu. But he told Elijah, you're gonna anoint him. But it was somebody else who did it. You know what? We're probably not going to be around to see everything that God does. And it's not about you. You know, God's work is bigger than you. Let me tell you, Oak Knoll, the church at Oak Knoll is bigger than LKEA. It's bigger than Brother Lindell. When Brother Lindell dies, and he will, if the Lord tarries, he will die. I mean, just the natural thing, right? I mean, he is older than I am. So naturally, he's going to go before me. Naturally. I mean, this is just talking in the flesh. But you know what? God allowed Brother Lindell to start a great work. It's not about Brother Lindell. It's God's work. Man, this thing is bigger than you. And you only have a little window. We only have a little bit of time. Why are we going to walk around in discouragement and down and just, you know, everything's just horrible. And the next generation is going to look at that and say, that's what I have to look forward to. That's my life. Forget it. I think we need to be encouraged in the Lord. I think we need to do more for the Lord. Because we're not always going to be here. This work is a lot bigger than you and I. So we need to take our eyes off ourselves. Just like Elijah did. He took his eyes. I mean, he was complaining. Man, Lord, it's just me. It's just me. And look at what these people did. And they're after my life. And they want to kill me. And everybody has gone. I'm the only one here. And God said, hey, by the way, I want you to go to... Yeah. That's what God's saying. You know, who cares? Seriously, if somebody hurt your feelings... Just give it to God. I mean, try to reconcile. I think it's a good idea. You know, we want to have sweeter fellowship. We want to have sweeter friendships. We want to have people walking with us in this life. I mean, that's good. But you shouldn't allow it to ruin possibly what God did for you this week. We need to be careful of that. Rejoicing in Christ is a lot bigger than us. You know, when things get tough, we need to get closer to God. We just need to get back to work. You know, in the judgment seat of Christ, your trials and your hurts ain't going to matter too much. It ain't going to matter at all. You know what's going to matter? What we did for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what's going to matter. You know, I think we need to strive to get to that point, the judgment seat of Christ, with no regrets. No regrets. I mean, okay, so we fall down.
Well, let's get up. You know? So, one of your children or one of your brothers or somebody close to you did something wrong and messed up a little bit. Man, let's talk to them. Let's try to reconcile them again. And let's get up and go. Discouragement is going to kill us. We're going to waste some time. I think God wants us to get close to God. I think God wants us to get back to work. And it's all about Jesus. That is what it's all about. Man, if you think it can't happen to you, just read the chapters that I just mentioned, 17, 18, and 19. Just read them. And you're going to get so excited until you get to 19:4, and you're going to go, what happened? Well, you know what the Bible says? That these things are written for our admonition. We learned from this. We learned from other people's mistakes. And man, we got the same flesh as this guy. Like passion, this guy. We got to watch it. This work is so much bigger than you. God wants us to get revived. God wants us to stay revived. God wants us to be happy. I truly believe that. And I'm telling you, it's the same type of logic. Don't you feel good when you do something for somebody? Today when I was out, or it wasn't today, it was sometime this week, we went out to eat breakfast, and we were at IHOP. We went out to eat breakfast, and on the way out, you know, I opened the door and I let my family out. And then I saw these elderly couple coming out. And I stayed there and I opened the door for them. And the lady said, thank you. And I said, yes, ma'am. And her husband walked out and said, thank you. And I said, yes, sir. And the lady stops, turns around and says, your mama taught you right. And I said, yes, ma'am. It made me feel good. It just made me feel good. I was just happy, you know. A little recognition, man, yeah, my mama taught me right. I'm doing right. You know, if you follow God's instructions, you're going to feel good. Because you're making God happy. We can actually possibly even see Him just smile down on us. Man, I do that so much. Man, there was a time in Morelia where I was literally scared. We went to go preaching. We were preaching at open markets. And I was scared. I was really, really scared all the time when we had to preach at the blue markets. Because they treated us so bad. And then one time Bill gave me this advice. He said, John, he said, just imagine Christ is there looking at you and preach to Him. That helped me out a lot. I'm going to preach to Christ. He's looking at me. He is pleased. Well, that's the way you got to live your life. Yeah. You got to imagine God looking down on you and saying, I'm pleased with you. You're tired this Wednesday? You're going to church? I'm pleased with you. Amen. Thursday comes around. And you got nothing better to do but play the Xbox, and you say, I'm going to go knock on some doors. And God says, I'm pleased with you. I mean, come on. Go out in your neighborhood. You say, oh, I don't want to go downtown. There's people on your neighborhood. Where do you live? Out in the boondocks? Go knock on a street. I guarantee you, if you knock on a street and it takes you 30, 45 minutes on your own, in your own neighborhood, I guarantee you playing the Xbox is going to be a whole lot more sweeter after you do what God tells you to do. See what I'm saying? Let me tell you, our Lord is looking down on us and He wants us to be rejoicing in Him. Praise the Lord. Thanks for the invite.